Greetings to each one this morning. I want to say as well, welcome to each of the visitors. We're glad you're here with us today. And may we all go encouraged and challenged again. I want to start out this morning just with a couple words of thanks. Curtis got up last Sunday, and when he got up and said thank you to each one, I looked at Janice and I knew if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. But thank you each one for the offering and your support and how you stand behind us, and we do appreciate it. I also want to say thank you for those that showed up Wednesday evening and helped to get a bunch of clothes. It not only helps get clothes out on the rack, but it also helps get some empty containers so we have somewhere to put clothes again. And we were able to fill up the truck, and so thank you. Thank you for coming and helping. Who remembers what Curtis talked about last Sunday? Curtis does. Walter? Okay. So Curtis made the comment last Sunday. He told me before we started, he said, if he's going to muddy the water and I can clear it up. Well, I told him afterward, I don't think there was any muddy water to clear up. I think he did a good job. But when he started out and what he was talking about, I had already kind of known kind of where I felt I was going today. And so it just proved to me that we need to talk about it this morning, because what he talked about last Sunday was purpose. And so I was curious how many remembered, or do you even remember what purpose you had? And my topic this morning is going to be choose to remember. And I'm going to start out with just a funny story that I ran across while I was preparing the sermon here today. It said, there was once a girl, the name of Pearl, who had trouble remembering things. She would even forget to get up in the morning and was always late for school. Her teacher, Miss Pickwick, didn't know what to do. Do you have an alarm clock? The teacher asked. Yes, I do, said Pearl, but I always forget to set it. Well, said Miss Pickwick, I'll tie a string around your finger. This will remind you to set your alarm clock when you go to bed tonight, and the alarm will get you up on time in the morning. The next day, Pearl, the forgetful girl, was late for school. Did you remember to set your alarm clock? Asked Miss Pickwick. No, said Pearl. I forgot why the string was tied around my finger. Very well, said the teacher. Let's keep the string tied around your finger and pin a note to your blouse. That way, the note will tell you why the string is tied around the finger. When you take off the blouse to go to bed tonight, you will see the note. The next day, Pearl, the forgetful girl, was late for school again. Why are you late for school again? Asked Miss Pickwick. Oh, said Pearl, I fell asleep listening to music, slept the whole night in my blouse, and didn't see the note. So the teacher, quite annoyed, there must be something you remember to do every night before going to bed. There is, replied Pearl. I always remember to brush my teeth. Good. I'll put a little red mark on your forehead. When you look into the mirror to brush your teeth, you will see the mark, and it will remind you to read the note, which is on your blouse, which will tell why the string is tied around your finger, and you'll remember to set your alarm clock. That night before going to bed, Pearl, the forgetful girl, stepped before the mirror to brush her teeth. She noticed the red mark on her forehead, and it reminded her to read the note that was attached to her blouse. The note told her that the string around her finger was to remind her to set the alarm clock for school in the morning. She was so happy to remember and quickly set the alarm clock for 7 o'clock. The next morning, the alarm clock rang. She was up on time. She ate her breakfast, hurried off to school as fast as she could. Miss Pickwick is surely going to be surprised, she thought to herself. But when she got to school, no one was there. Pearl had forgotten it was Saturday. You know, it's humorous, and yet we're forgetful people. We tend to forget things quite easily. You know, when he was going to preach, I wondered if he was going to talk on New Year's resolutions. I don't know how many of you make New Year's resolutions. How many did? Kind of. How about last year? Did you make any last year? Okay. There was one. Now, the ones that didn't raise their hand are pretty safe, I guess, because the next question I was going to ask is how many of you remembered them? And how long did you remember them? You know, statistics in 2014 found that 23% totally forgot about the resolutions. Some of them didn't even remember what they were. Columbia University says that about 25% stay committed to the resolution for less than 30 days, or they forget them after 30 days. They went on to say some of the reason for failure of resolutions is unrealistic goals. Too many resolutions are not setting up a way to be accountable. Psychologists recommend strategies to help stick to the goal. Change the situation to avoid temptation, like remove sugary foods from kitchen or delete social media from the app on your phone. All this to say, unless it is of high importance, we have a great tendency to forget. We've heard a number of different times this morning about being intentional. And if we are not intentional, the same thing will happen in our Christian walk. This morning, for scripture reading this morning, I want to turn to Deuteronomy 6, verse 8. Children, how many of you brought your NIVs this morning? You can turn to Deuteronomy 6. I'm actually going to do a fair amount of reading. I would like to read three chapters in Deuteronomy this morning. And I thought we had an NIV Bible, but we found one. I had to borrow one this morning. But I do think it's important that you can follow along, and I want to try to make it to where you can follow along as we read Scripture. Scripture is very important. Before we get there, before we start reading, this here passage of Scripture this morning comes just before they were ready to enter into the Promised Land. This is actually Moses speaking to the children of Israel and giving them advice, giving them instructions before they went into the Promised Land. And reminding them, he took them back, reminding them of how God had taken care of them, how quickly they would forget. We all know quite well the story of the calf when Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and within 40 days, they forgot about God, built a calf, and suddenly started to worship the calf, saying, "This is who brought them out of Egypt." And sometimes we look at the children of Israel and we're like, "Wow, how can you forget so fast?" How can you not remember what was done? And then I look at myself, and you look back past the last year, and you ask yourself, did God, I'm sure all of us could say that God moved on our behalf some way this last year. And my next question would be, how long did you remember that? You know, it happens, and it's like, wow, that's pretty incredible. And yet, somehow, we're much the same. It doesn't take long, and we forget. We don't think about it anymore. I heard something this week. We were actually sitting there for breakfast the other morning, and we were talking about different things, and this comment came up about the mockery of God. Anyhow, it was interesting, because I was thinking about forgetting. About 113 years ago, back in 1912, is when the Titanic sunk, and people had forgotten. They said, you know, even God can't sink this ship. And here we have the beginning of this year. I don't know how many of you saw anything about it. I hadn't heard much about it until we talked yesterday morning, and then I started looking up, and there's actually quite a bit out there about it. But the mockery in California at the Golden Globes and how they mocked God. There's actually a movie that was made called God of Heaven and Earth, and when they at the Golden Globes, they take the titles and who's, you know, the ratings and everything. And the rating on God of Heaven and Earth movie was zero. And then they went on to mock and they laughed and said, well, so much for God in this godless town. And 24 hours later, fires break out. Does it have anything to do with that? You know, does it have anything to do with the Titanic when it sunk? That they said even God can't sink that? You know, we have all those questions. I don't have the exact answer for those questions, but we do know that God is good and all good things come from God. And when we take God and we no longer need God in our lives, around us, that good things go away. So how do we keep from forgetting? How do we remember? So we don't, like the children of Israel, forget what God has done, where he has taken them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I may stop a couple places in as I'm reading here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, Moses was talking to the people, and he said, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey them, so it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you." Let's stop for just one second there. Now, if you think with the children of Israel, so they've gone from slavery in Egypt to the wilderness, where they have very little. They had to depend every day on God for their food, and now they're going into a land with milk and honey. And he's like, now when you have plenty and you have lots, everything's given to you, you're at comforts. He's warning them to be careful. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." I'm going to stop there just a little bit too, because there's another, I think probably one of the greatest keys is, I don't think he's saying to get up in the morning, love the Lord your God, okay, we got this one done at this point of the day, every point of your day that is going, but it should be so ingrained or so part of your life that every part of your day, whether you're rising, whether you're wherever you're at, that is so important and a part of your life that it becomes a very key part of just who you are. I had to think how many of you, now some of you young ones, this doesn't count because you know your address already, but I have to think, the other week Janice asked me, she said she wondered about the address of where we used to live at, and of course, you know, you have this way, you go back and it's like, boom, it just pulls up, and I'm guessing probably most of your older folks can do the same. There's something about, there's things about when you were growing up that just always stick with you because it was a very key, important part of your life. And this is what God should be. This is what Moses is telling them. It needs to be a very key, important part of your life. Verse 10, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God, the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all the enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, 'What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you?' tell him, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised an oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in the case of today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, them you must destroy totally. Make no treaty with them and show no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you to do them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, burn their idols in the fire, for you are a people holy to the Lord. Holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your forefathers, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those that love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay them for the face of those who hate them. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and be careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, your wine, and the oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land that he swore to the forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor their livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over you. Do not look on them with pity and not serve their gods. That will be a snare to you. You may say to yourself, these nations are stronger than we. How can we drive them out? But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all of Egypt. You saw with your own eyes the great trials and miraculous signs and wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Moreover, the Lord your God will send you the hornets among them until even the survivors will hide from you, have perished. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is great and an awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into a great confusion until they are destroyed. He will give their kings into your hand, and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and the gold on them. Do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing in your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. And then in chapter 8, the very beginning title, I don't know if yours has a title on the top of it or not, but mine says, Do Not Forget the Lord. And he says, Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know that what was in your heart, whether or not you could keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his way and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert and thirsty, waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and test you so that at the end it might go well with you. You might say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that it will surely be destroyed, that you surely will be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. After all this instruction from Moses, the reminders, how could they forget so soon? You know, I thought of the saying that goes, the little foxes ruin the vines, little by little. But you know, Jesus knew that we weren't so much different. In John 14, 23 to 27, Jesus said this, and he was talking to Judas, not Iscariot, Judas, the other disciple, says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus knew that we would be forgetful too. While they had the laws, we have Scripture, and we have the Holy Spirit that goes with us from day to day, prodding or talking to us. Again, God must be a priority. His instructions, his voice must be a priority if we want to remember. Now, if we look at the children of Israel, about 800 years later, who knows what happened? They had forgotten, and they were carried captive. Now, while as a nation they didn't serve God, doesn't mean that there wasn't any that were living for God. Their wickedness was judged. Everyone suffered because of, as a nation, they were wicked, and yet there were those that were still living right and that were set on doing what is right. One of those stories in Daniel chapter 1, and I'm not going to turn there because I'm running out of time, but we talked about that. I had chapel, and we talked a little bit about Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 1, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. What was he worried about defiling? Was he worried about defiling himself with the meat, with the wine? Or was there another reason? And there's a third reason that commentators feel that he was not just with the grapes and the wine, but if we look at what had just happened, they had brought them captive and they had changed their names, or they tried to change their names. What was the reason for changing their names? So they would... Okay, Austin? Okay. Because they were afraid, because they wanted to forget where they came from, what they were a part of. They brought them into this new kingdom, and they wanted to teach them their ways. And if you remember, Daniel's name was God is my judge. They tried to change it to Belteshazzar, which is wife of God Bel, protect the king. They wanted to take him out from what they stood for and living for God, and train them into the new kingdom. What better way to be reminded every time, three times a day, if they ate like we do, you know, three times a day you're reminded that who you serve and who is your God. Daniel made a choice that he was going to live for God and not be impacted by what had happened, not let it draw him away from God. We also know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the story of Esther. Each one of these were faithful in where God put them, even if they were going through hard times, through punishment, because as a nation, what they stood for. They stood for what was right. And each one of them was able to impact, to make a difference, to show who God really was, that God was all-powerful in the kingdom where they were put. So how do we not forget? How dedicated are we to God being in every part of our life? How diligent are you? How diligent am I to listen? How much are you willing to give up? Again, Jesus' words, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. The Spirit speaks to you. Do I listen? I don't understand their whole, when they build a calf, the pull they had to bow down and worship this idol that had no life. I don't understand that whole drive for that. Again, it's a culture thing. But what about when the Spirit speaks to you? Are you willing to listen? When he tells you to talk, and you got places to be, are you willing to listen? Or maybe he says, go help this person in need. And I'm not saying that you always take off and put your plans off to go help someone, and yet, you know, when that Spirit speaks, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Are you willing to go? Or maybe get closer to home. When the Spirit says, why don't you turn off that phone and spend some time in my word? Will you turn it off? Or maybe you responded to someone wrong, and the Spirit says, that response was wrong. Are you willing to go back and make it right? There are many of them we could put in here. Those are just a few examples. God's Spirit speaks in many ways. But when you and I, when the Spirit speaks, and we're like, we're not willing to do that, we begin to build an idol. Like I said, little foxes ruin the vines, and slowly but surely we begin to do just like the children of Israel, and we forget who God is and what he has brought us from. Are we like the Hebrew boys, willing to do whatever it costs to remember who God is and who we serve? Joshua, which was the one that was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, he said this. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Today, it boils down, if we want to remember, we have to make that choice. We have this word, we have the Spirit. What will we choose today? Will it be in every part of our life? May we allow that to be so much a part of our life. It doesn't matter if we're up, we're about, whatever it is, that we, like the three Hebrew boys, will remember. May we, like Joshua, say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Calvin, do you have a song? All right, 555, the Faith and Praise, and you can stand. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness. God, we thank you that for your mercies, your long-suffering. God, you know that we're forgetful people. And God, the mistakes we make, and you're forgiving. It's not who we are, but it's because of your love. Thank you for your continued love to us. God, I pray that you would be with us as we go through this week. And as we go through life, help us to make that choice to keep you forever in our minds, in our life, and to serve you. Help us to walk faithfully with you. And we look forward to the day that we can spend eternity with you. So God, I just pray that you would go with each one as they go from here. Pray that you would bless each one. And we thank you for your goodness and your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.